Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. As technology and habits change, viewership for local TV news has been slowly declining. But a new Pew Research study shows that the pace of declining viewership is picking up speed. In 2016, 46% of adults reportedly often watched local TV news. In 2017, that number dropped to 37%. The local TV news audience skews sharply older as more young people turn to online sources for news. This hour, we're going to talk about what this means for TV stations, for our communities, and for the changing media landscape. We also want to hear from you. How have your viewership habits changed over the years? 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Joining me now is Adam Karos, news director for KCRG-TV in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And tell me a little bit about your background. What brought you into the news business?
Well, I came by it from family, so it's in my blood, so to speak, somewhat literally and figuratively. My dad was a news director at a TV station, at a couple TV stations, mostly in upstate New York area. So I grew up around newsrooms, and my family is just very news-oriented and read the newspaper every morning and a couple newspapers every morning, watched the news all the time, would talk about the news, have great political debates around the dinner table. So I just grew up really loving news and information and debate and discussing issues. So I knew I wanted to get into television news and kind of follow in my dad's footsteps to a certain extent. But as we were discussing just a little bit ago, I also wanted to marry that with my love of sports. I'm a big sports fan and wanted to do sports journalism. And then I found out as I went through, I went to the University of Missouri in Columbia, which has a fantastic journalism program. And I found out there are a lot of people who want to be sports broadcast journalists. We're literally a dime a dozen. So I looked at the job prospects there and decided, you know, maybe sports isn't the right way to go. And fortunately, I had tried a bunch of different things when I was in college, from photography to on-camera reporting and anchoring. And the one I really liked was producing. And that's behind the scenes. Basically, you're the manager of the newscast, deciding what stories the order the stories will run in, writing a lot of the content, and making sure it then gets on air smoothly. So I got a job in that and came to Eastern Iowa back in 2005, and have been here ever since, and just kind of worked my way up from producer. I worked at the Gazette for a little bit as an assignment editor for a couple of different titles in there, but basically working with reporters on stories, and then transitioned back into TV with KCRG as the news director, and I've been in that position now for 6 years. So,
and in spite of the fact that you're relatively young, given your family's experience, you have a long view of how news has changed over
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. My dad would tell stories about how he threw a typewriter at someone once. So luckily didn't hit them, but definitely a changing technology has just drastically changed the field over the years.
Well, and as I said earlier in the show, you know, when I was growing up, everybody watched the local TV news. It was just a part of the day in pretty much every household of everybody I knew. That sounds similar to the environment you grew up in.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was just habit. 6 o'clock, time for news. So.
And that has changed dramatically over the years. How do you see that shifting?
Well, the biggest way we see it is largely in the number of people who are watching our newscasts. It is a steady decline nationwide, not just in Eastern Iowa. Actually, Eastern Iowa has been relatively stable in terms of TV viewership and TV news viewership in particular. We've really lagged behind the rest of the country when it comes to declining local news viewership. We've seen larger markets dealing with this for much longer than we have in terms of just the number of people who are watching a 6 o'clock or a 10 o'clock newscast, not dramatically decline, but just kind of steadily decline, particularly the 10 o'clock news, late news. People are going to bed a lot earlier because things are starting a lot earlier these days, especially if you have kids. You're getting them up at 4, 5, 6 in the morning, or you are at 4, 5, 6 in the morning to get ready and then get them ready to get out the door for the bus or what have you. So the lifestyles have changed a little bit, and that's been an influence of it. The biggest impact, though, is exactly what you were just talking about. A lot of people have gone from habitual viewers, and we've seen this in research of it's habit at 5 o'clock, I'm watching the news. At 6 o'clock, I'm watching the news. To their situational viewers, there's something happened today, so I want to tune in to see it. There's a story that I saw promoted, so I want to tune in to see that. So they're really picking and choosing when they view, and that's really the biggest shift that we've seen in the mentality of viewers. And it's showing up in a lot of our market research that we've done as well that reflect some of the Pew research and other national research out there. That suggests that it's just not a habit for people anymore. They have so many different choices out there for media and for entertainment and for how they spend their time that time has become more valuable. So blocking off a dedicated half hour every single day to watch a newscast just isn't in the cards for a lot of people. And so they're looking for, they'll tune in and they're interested in news, but they do it selectively when they're interested in something specific that happened that day or a story that has specifically been promoted that they're looking to see.
Well, and I mentioned that local TV news audience skews older. That's always been the case.
Absolutely.
20-somethings have always been less likely to watch the news than 60-somethings. But we're seeing that effect heightened. I mean, I have to suspect that it's partially because a lot of younger people have really left live TV behind, the way that we can watch anything that we want to watch on demand that takes away the connection.
I would say it's not so much the live. The live actually, I think, is one of the biggest things that people do expect now. You look at Facebook Live and the different live video feeds that are out there now. There is a big demand for live, and that's why outlets that are offering live streams and live videos are doing pretty well in that regard because they are reaching a little bit of a younger audience. And I think that's one of the misnomers when you look at a study like this and say, oh, it's the older folks that are watching TV, which is statistically pretty accurate, and we see it locally here as well. But historically, younger people today are more interested in news than we've seen in previous generations. It's just they're getting it differently. So to your point, they have the app. They have it instantly. They need to know right now. They don't have to wait for 6 o'clock for the news to come on or for the next morning to pick it up and read it in the newspaper. They want it now, and there's so many outlets to get it now that the newscast becomes a different medium, a different value point for those types of people. They're not looking for what's happened now. They're looking for perspective and to add depth to what they've already seen in their apps and their smartphones throughout the day.
So how does this cultural shift that we're experiencing right now, how does that affect how you do your job? Does that change the content of the newscast?
A little bit, yeah. It changes the mentality across the board. You know, when we have breaking news now, it's not send a crew and maybe break into programming or get a live shot up. It's get it on the website. It's get it posted to our app, send out a push alert, get it shared on social media, on Facebook and on Twitter. It's looking to reach people quicker than a newscast. There's definitely the newscast in the back of the mind of, okay, we need to make sure a photographer's out there and a reporter to get pictures and video back and plan out how we're going to cover it within a newscast. But the first thing we're thinking of anymore is who's writing the web story, who's getting the information posted online, because that is the instant piece that TV stations have thrived on over the years is breaking news and what's happening now. And so we can still carry that forward and push that online. So there's a bigger emphasis on kind of a digital first strategy and getting it on the internet first. And then from a newscast, there is a different change in mentality. It's not, there's a definite push. If there's something happening now, to get that in the newscast because it has that urgency and what's happening now, and we can take you there right now live. But generalize the content we're looking for is a little more, to my point earlier, is depth and context and being able to have a balanced delivery of both sides of an issue, doing less crime reporting and less news of the day and more issue-driven reporting and debates of what those issues are and the two sides or three or four sides sometimes on depending on the issue. So we're looking much more for the context and the depth behind stories necessarily from day to day than just what happened today.
Well, and with breaking news, I mean, that's always been an important part of what local TV news has done. Does it feel like you have to be even faster now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you see that I'd say that pressure comes more so from the 24-hour news cycle mentality that we've seen from the CNNs, the Fox News, the MSNBCs. They've really pushed the envelope in terms of the speed of breaking news, somewhat to a fault. We've seen instances where erroneous information has been reported or rumors been reported as fact in the midst of breaking news. And that's a real problem for a lot of news outlets is how to manage getting it out there fast and first, because that is the demand that we're seeing from our audiences. We want to know now. We don't want to wait for 6 o'clock, or we don't want to wait for an hour or 2 hours. We want it now. It gets shared. People at the scene are sharing it on social media and sharing information. A lot of it is rumor and innuendo, but they're sharing it and the information's getting out there. And so we need to be in that space to, otherwise we run the risk of getting drowned out. And if we have, in theory, the correct information, the right information, the most complete information, that's a bad thing if that's getting drowned out by rumor and innuendo from witnesses at the scene. So there is definitely an emphasis to do it faster, but there's got to be that pressure, and it's a real challenge to find that balance to make sure it's right first.
Right. I was just going to ask you that. How do you balance that as a news director between the, I know I want to get this to my viewers, to my the people who've downloaded the app, to the audience, but I also want it to be right.
It's the tenets of journalism. It's, you know, the joke is, if your mother tells you you love your lover, love you, get another source. So trust but verify. So it's looking at where the information is coming from, who is giving it to us. Can we verify it independently? Is there another source that we can use to back up what's going on? Eyewitness accounts become very important, you know, of having a reporter on the scene to be able to relay, here is what I'm seeing, because that's a much more verifiable, trustworthy thing of a reporter is on the scene. And yes, I can see the house is on fire or whatever the case may be. So it's really just getting back to the basics of journalism, but doing it a lot quicker.
Now, a few years ago in media, we were putting a lot of effort into our websites, making sure that our websites carried all of this content. Have you felt that emphasis has shifted to the app, to social media over the website?
Social media, I would say, is absolutely heightened. I don't know if I'd say over the website, because the big hindrance there is revenue. And at the end of the day, and that's one of the somewhat in a lot of newsrooms, we try not to speak of it, of, you know, but it is, it's a business, and we're trying to make money, and we don't let that influence what news we cover or what we don't cover, for that matter. But it does influence how we cover it and where we're putting stuff. And when you think of Facebook, we don't make money off of Facebook. There is no one who is seeing our article on Facebook who's paying us for that, or an advertiser that we're able to place there because of that. So a lot of our social media efforts are driven towards, yes, sharing some information, but trying to get people to engage with us by going to our website, where we can have digital ads and video pre-roll ads that'll play, or tuning into a newscast. So there's definitely an emphasis to be able to push people through social media, and that's grown and grown and grown and grown and grown exponentially. Well, website is definitely still important there, and it largely has to do with the finances of, can we make money and off of Facebook.
I'm talking with Adam Karos, news director for KCRG-TV in Cedar Rapids. We're talking about how local TV news viewership is changing quite rapidly right now. Michael Bouget of Iowa State University is going to join us in just a moment, and we'd also love to hear from you. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about changing habits in the changing media landscape. We have seen local TV news viewership declining over the years, slowly for a long time, and now there's been a big drop from 2016. 46% of adults reportedly often watched local TV news, to 2017. 37% of adults reportedly often watched their local TV news. That's according to a Pew Research study. We're talking about this change. We'd love to hear about how your habits have changed and why. We're going to talk about what this means, not just for TV stations, but for communities and for the rest of the media landscape as well. With me, Adam Karos, news director for KCRG-TV in Cedar Rapids. And joining us now, Michael Bouget, professor of and former director of the Greenlee School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Iowa State University, also the author of Interpersonal Divide and the Age of the Machine. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Charity. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, lovely to talk to you. And so, you know, Adam and I were talking about how this affects him at one TV station, but we have seen this happening for a long time. And as I mentioned, it was going fairly slowly as the media landscape changed. Now it seems to be picking up steam. What do you take away from that?
Well, you know, you have to take a look at the television set in your house. You know, we heard stories over the years about how everybody would gather around the one TV set, right, and watch the evening news. And that was true for a long time. And that TV was really static. It was static as a book. It talked to you, right? Well, take a look at your TV now. If you have a relatively new television, it is really a digital device, a large smartphone, if you will. You can get YouTube on it. You can get Amazon Prime on it. You can play video games on Xbox or PlayStation on it. You can hook all manner of gadgets into it that are going to deliver content. What has happened here is there's so much content directed at individuals in the household. Mom has a different psychographic than dad, and dad has a different psychographic than the children, and they have TV sets or computers or handhelds in each of their room consuming what media they want. So the first thing you got to take a look at is how TV has changed and what this means to the family in terms of getting news.
And so that means that you're not sitting down with your dad or your mom to watch the news. Kids aren't being raised necessarily with that same kind of overflow.
And that really concerns me. You know, I think Adam is spot on in many of the things that he's saying, but I am not sure television stations have realized that young people, you know, particularly ages 18 to 29, which is the next generation, are used to live streaming. So when we take a look at high school sports, for instance, and this is what TV stations do really well. They do weather well, they do sports well, and they do crime well, and they have a presence in the community. And we can talk about what this means for community when you would like. But the fact of the matter is that there are companies that have live streaming for high school students so that they can use their smartphone, which is a broadcast studio in a pocket, if you will, to stream the basketball from their gymnasiums to the internet. And that's where viewership goes. Now, I think TV stations had better really understand that if we don't start nurturing this new generation that's used to live streaming and choices and things of that nature, we're going to see further declines.
You were saying, Adam, you know, young people haven't watched news, historically speaking. The 20-somethings are not watching the news. We see that in public radio as well. We certainly have young listeners, but people tend to age in to listening to public radio or age in to watching the news on television. Are you concerned that with the way our culture has changed, that maybe we're not raising the next generation of television news viewers?
Yes and no. I think there's definitely there is an appetite amongst the younger generation for news. They have access now to more information and more news, and we see that in some of the Pew research too, in the number of apps that are on an individual's phones. Younger folks have access to CNN apps, to Fox News, to different blogs, to various outlets that provide news. So they are consuming a lot more news than previous generations. And the issue of that, if generations turning into newscasts or picking up a newspaper, it really has been something that we've seen from generation to generation. If you don't have kids in the schools, you're not that interested in the school board meetings or coverage of the school board meetings or school-related issues. If you don't own your own home, property taxes, you struggle to understand how that's going to affect you or really see or care how that affects you, because it doesn't to the same extent as someone who does own a house. So as people get older, and not just from an age standpoint, but from their life point of when they start owning a house, when they start having kids, that's when we've really seen historically people get more in tune with the news, whatever the medium is. From Michael's point, though, the struggle here will be the medium. And that's where there is a big push, I know, in our newsroom and our corporate newsroom, too, to push the way we're reaching the younger audience and the way we're reaching the audience, because we're already seeing it now, even with that 25 to 54 demo, which is really our main target demo when we talk about who advertisers are after and who a lot of our news outlets direct their content towards. We're already seeing it there. So the younger generation is just going to be even more so than what we're seeing. I think it's interesting that Michael's noting the sports is a great example. And TV stations absolutely need to wake up, and sports departments need to wake up and stop doing highlights at 10 o'clock. Anyone who is interested in let's say, the Iowa City West versus City High game, they were at the game, or they were streaming it live online, or getting updates on Twitter, or updates from their friends on Facebook. By 10 o'clock, they know the score, or they're not interested in the score. So there's a big push nationwide, and we've seen a lot of outlets drop sports from their newscasts and refocus sports around telling stories and delving into issues in terms of, you know, concussions in football or a great feature about a player who's overcome odds. That's the way that TV stations need to focus sports, and it bleeds into the different way that they're going to have to refocus their thoughts about news and crime coverage as well.
Interesting. Well, Michael, earlier when I was quoting the numbers from the Pew Research study, I was talking about national numbers. And Adam was saying earlier that the decline in viewership has been less steep in eastern Iowa. That's also something we've seen in other parts of Iowa, in the Des Moines TV market, for example. Is Iowa an outlier?
I think in some ways it is, but it is still prone to the same trends. It's just experiencing those trends a little bit slower. One of the reasons is that Iowa is fairly literate in terms of news and news consumption. Adam is spot on when he says journalism and the thirst for news still exists, and it exists in high schools as well. High schools have student newspapers, but they very seldom have student broadcast stations. However, now is broadcast news has to move quickly, and it has to start getting into high schools. And how do you do that? Well, in the past, you know, you needed a whole broadcast studio, such as we have right now throughout the state with Iowa Public Radio. But with a smartphone, you have a studio in your pocket. So there are ways now to start getting people interested in broadcast news. And the live streaming of news from school districts and using students to help live stream to the studio and even to the website would be a good way to start nurturing that audience. The one thing I do want to say, and I want to make sure that I can get this in, is that broadcast news, particularly local broadcast news, is immensely important when it comes to a sense of community. I think that local broadcast news continues to show young people that journalism exists. Why is it so? Because there's a crew, and that crew is in your neighborhood, and it has the TV station call letters on that car, and it's letting everybody know that we're around as a community. Now, as we move increasingly towards digital, whether it's social media or any type of other type of media or content, we're losing that sense of community. You know, a newspaper can run a 3-paragraph crime story that they get while they're calling in to the police log. But a broadcast crew is going to be on that scene, and it's going to take you into the courtroom as well. Remember that KWWL was one of the first, I think in 1980, to start putting cameras in the courtroom. So the fact of the matter is, it is true that we're having difficulty with declining audience for all the content and digital gadgets that we talked about before. But it is immensely important for parents, for school districts, to reinvest in watching local television news.
Mentioning the community, local news stations are focused on a relatively small area. And we've seen, as media has changed, we've seen less and less of that, with local newspapers, many going under or shifting to more national pieces in their newspapers. You mentioned Iowa Public Radio. We're a statewide network. We're not focused exclusively on the local communities that we're in. We cover the state. But I mean, this is kind of, you're becoming a rare animal, Adam. I mean, fewer and fewer outlets are focused on the community.
That's absolutely true. And I would echo what Michael just said about newspapers, too, because newspapers provide a lot of the depth of journalism at a local level that TV doesn't always have the time to get into. So I think it's across the board. Local media in general is extraordinarily important right now, especially when you look at it in the context of the number of voices that are now crowding the market. When you have so many blogs and really slanted viewpoints that are presenting themselves as news in a lot of ways, that people are drifting to those viewpoints that favor whatever viewpoint they already share. So we're not getting the diversity of opinions that people are exposing themselves to. And that's where the local news outlets can be very, very critically important as a trusted person. If you get a national report about something happening in the White House from, let's say, an ABC correspondent who's there, that's great. But the trust level, and this is reflected in the Pew research, the trust level of those national outlets has really declined. And I think a big piece of it has to do on what Michael is hitting on. If I see an ABC reporter reporting that, I don't know that ABC reporter that well. I don't have as good of a relationship with them. Whereas a Bruce Downey or a Beth Malicki, I know them. I trust them. I might have seen them at the grocery store. I might see them out and walking in a parade or involved in a community event in the neighborhood. And so there's a trust factor there. So when we can make sure that people are trusting the news and able to have a reliable source of something to cut through all the voices that are out there that are giving opinions that are disguised as news, I think that's a really important thing to make sure we protect and maintain.
Let's go to the phones. Wally is on the line in Bradford. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Hi, Wally. We just lost Wally there. Sorry about that, Wally. Give us a call back. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. With me, Adam Karos, news director for KCRG-TV in Cedar Rapids. That's an ABC affiliate. Michael Bougea, professor of and former director of the Greenlee School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Iowa State University. And now one of the very interesting things, Michael, that I picked up from that Pew study was the fact that local TV news has a higher viewership than cable news. And I found that to be very interesting because we certainly talk about cable news a lot right now. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think cable is experiencing declines as well. These are media that are trending lower. What we're seeing is internet and live feeds. So it's true. I mean, in cable news, for instance, I think Fox News has held on to its audience, CNN has held on to its audience, and A&E has held on to its audience. But cable news is plummeting just like everyone else from the same thing of content overload. What's not changing is radio. Radio is terrestrial. The interesting thing about radio is that it is holding steady. And when you take a look at NPR, I mean, NPR has increased, I think, 14% since 2015. Then this takes me back to something that, I do this research in technology and the technology of how are we getting our news. The news is out there. The fact-based journalism exists. But when you take a look at how we are getting it, it seems to me that with all the content and all the demand and all the choices that are out there, we're suffering yet again from losing that sense of community. And that sense of community has really defined Iowa. I mean, the topic of this show is, I mean, the title of the show is Talk of Iowa. Well, community and Iowa are almost synonymous. So we really have to take a look at why this broadcast is important and why it's important to take a look at your local news. I mean, one of the things that I recommend is just go ahead and use your DVR to tape your 5 o'clock or maybe 10 o'clock newscasts, and then take a look at those newscasts and see, do it for the space of a week or two, and ask yourself, what am I missing by not looking at local television news? And I think you'll find that you can miss a lot.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about how radio is not declining. 10 years ago, we thought radio was going to die. That was one of the big predictions. So it also underlines how poor we are at predicting the future. We have this comment from Doug. He says, I think we've got it backward. I believe families no longer watch local news in the evening because local news is disappearing, which is an interesting thought. I mean, Adam, all the local affiliates have a local newscast, right? Yeah. It's not.
Yes and no.
Okay.
We're seeing more local news being produced at each affiliate. But the sheer economics of it, there are newsrooms across the country that are folding, that are going under. We're seeing that in a mix of size of markets. A great example I can point to with that, and a lot of it has to do from an economic standpoint more so than the content or the viewership. But if you're, for example, St. Louis has three newsrooms, three television newsrooms. Green Bay, which is uh, about 20 or 30 markets smaller than St. Louis, they have five or six. So why can a city or a market that's smaller than St. Louis support more newsrooms? The answer is they can't. And that's where we're seeing some of the economics come in, where media consolidation and ownership is starting to take over and say, okay, do we really need three local TV stations in one market, or is two enough? And I don't know what the full number is in that. So we are seeing some local newsrooms fold up in that manner, largely driven by economic pressures and economic forces. But in terms of local news disappearing, I don't think that's the case. Every market has a local TV newsroom from a Nielsen standpoint. And those newsrooms are actually producing more and more local newscasts than they used to. We're seeing the number of local news local newsrooms are producing more newscasts, largely because it's less expensive than paying syndicators to fill time slots. But that is also, I think, driven in part by the demand for seeing news at different times during the day or whenever you want it.
And Michael, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I just think that it's important that we maintain our sense of community and do not. And we know that this is the product of my research, and I have been looking. The first edition of Interpersonal Divide was the search for community in a technological age, and I was worried between 1999 and 2004 that these trends were going to diminish our local news coverage. So let's remember that Iowa is a community, and that the news in your community matters.
Amen.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. And you're welcome to join the conversation as well. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. With me, Michael Bougea, professor of and former director of the Greenlee School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Iowa State University. Adam Karos, news director for KCRG-TV in Cedar Rapids. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about how our media landscape is changing, specifically the decline in viewership for local TV news and how that might impact the viewers, the community, and the rest of the media landscape as well. With me, Adam Karos, news director for KCRG and TV in Cedar Rapids, an ABC affiliate, Michael Bougea, professor of and former director of the Greenlee School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Iowa State University, also the author of Interpersonal Divide in the Age of the Machine. Melissa Tully is joining us now. She's an assistant professor at the University of Iowa in the School of Journalism and Mass Communications. Hello, Melissa.
Hello.
Thanks for joining the show. And we were talking a little bit about how young people's engagement with the news has changed. And I know that the fact that young people actually engage with the news more than they used to, we're kind of at an all-time high for that at the moment. That's one of the things that you've looked closely at. What do you think that tells us?
Yeah, I think what we know about news and news consumption, you know, people want news and information that matters to them, that can help them make decisions, even though we do see some pushback in saying, you know, people only want short blurbs, they're not really spending the time. As you said, actually people are, and young people are spending time with news, they're just doing it in places that are different, right? So maybe they're not watching local news as you all have been discussing, but they are consuming news on social media, on their phones. I see my students consuming news through mobile alerts on their phone. So I think it just looks different than we're used to seeing. And we're not so great, even now, even though this is, you know, a growing trend, at measuring and capturing and sort of understanding this kind of news consumption. And so I think it often gets, you know, we often say, oh, young people are just on social media or just, you know, seeing news pass by them briefly. But they actually are consuming this news and interacting with it in new and different ways.
Well, and given that they're seeing news, interacting with it in different ways, we also have this concern that we've talked a lot about in recent months, in the last couple of years, about maybe a lack of discernment about where that news is coming from and whether it's reliable.
Absolutely. And I, you know, one of my areas of research is in news media literacy. So thinking about how we as news consumers can be better prepared and better able to consume news in the places that we are doing it. So in this case, thinking about how we can make better informed decisions about the news we consume on social media or, you know, on YouTube or wherever we're getting it. And I think one of the issues that you bring up in sort of being able to discern is that, you know, on Facebook, for example, in your news feed, a story posted from a legitimate news source looks the same as a post from a fake news website or from, you know, from an agency, right? So it's hard for people to understand that this the news and information they're receiving on social media is taken out of context, right? There's no front page to tell people what's important. So having people develop skills to evaluate sources, see who's creating this content, understand that journalists and newsmakers have a process compared to maybe folks who will just, you know, put up posts and call it news. So I think that is really important on social media, where things are competing for our attention, and with just a passing look, it's actually quite difficult to discern what's real, what's fact, what's fiction. So developing those skills is extremely important for social media consumption, but also for any kind of news consumption. I think it's important for people to understand that different cable news networks have different slants, that even local news, you know, as stations are being bought up by large corporations, they're going to change as well. So I do think it's important that media consumers, news consumers, understand that.
There are a lot of people who want to join in on this conversation, so I want to get to the phones. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Wally is back with us from Bradford. Hi, Wally.
Hi.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
I'd be interested in a little reflection by your guests on what the declining consumption of news is doing to profits. I'm talking, and keep this in the context of the ever increasing concentration of news media. What's this doing to the profits of Rupert Murdoch, of Clear Channel Radio? These organizations didn't buy up many, many, many news sources just because they had some spendable cash. Has this caught them by surprise? Will this affect their bottom line? Do they care?
All right. Michael, you want to tackle that?
Well, you know, you can look at this two ways. Back in the 80s, for instance, in 90s, you had people rise up against media conglomerates, and those conglomerates were giving us all the news. There are so many sources out there. It is so stratified, the news business these days. The people who are making money are at Apple, Microsoft, and Google. The people who are not making money or making the money that they should are in traditional news media. I think you've heard me say this before, we need to start teaching media and technology literacy as early as possible, because we're living in an age of big data, and big data is going to give you the news that you already believe. So it is true that young people, millennials, are getting their news online. Actually, they're getting a lot of news online. The problem is the news they're getting affirms their pre-existing beliefs, because social media is programmed to sell and surveil at the same time. So it sees where your clicks are, and it gives you information that leads you to things that you already believe. So in a sense of the big media, I mean, looking at Rupert Murdoch, traditional news media, that's just not important anymore. What's important is, what is Facebook doing? You know, is Facebook that, you know, steals content from TV news? Are they giving back to TV news? No. You know, what is Google doing with all its searches and its theft of news? What is Microsoft doing in terms of all its programs and devices? And what is Apple doing, for instance? These corporations are huge. They dwarf what the New York Times is or what ABC News is. So it's important to take a look at, are we getting information that's factual that will help us make choices in the voting booth and in our communities, or are we getting stuff that already affirms what we believe?
Adam, you want to add something to that?
Yeah, so I actually grabbed some research for this. RTDNA, which is a trade organization that covers a lot of local TV stations, they do annual research, and they actually found that local newsrooms' profitability is up, even as we're seeing a decline in viewership. Some of that has to do with some of the concentration. Some of that has to do with the scale of economics that allows. You know, we were actually used to be owned locally by the Gazette, and were bought by Great Television 2 years ago. And that enabled us to have a lot of efficiencies, particularly from a digital standpoint, of being able to have centralized support and things like that. So there's definitely some profitability there, and local news is still a very profitable venture, and that's why you see some of these conglomerates looking to buy up and paying a really high price these days for local TV newsrooms. The challenge, I would say, though, to what Michael was hitting on is we're seeing the shift in audience. We're not seeing the shift in advertising dollars. The advertising for websites and for Facebook and for Google is just not there right now. Facebook is a great example. We don't make any money, as I was mentioning earlier, off of our Facebook audience. We have 150,000 people who follow us. We don't make a dime off of them unless they watch a newscast or come to our website. And even from a website standpoint, the dollars that we're able to make from advertising online is pennies compared to what we're able to make from a TV advertising. And we're not seeing that transition mirror where the audience is going yet. So I think that's one of the big challenges as well, that if we can get the advertising and the financial and the business structure to shift along with the audience, that will help as well.
Is it because people can avoid ads so easily when they're online that they can't avoid them if they're watching live television still?
That's a piece of it. Just anecdotally, talking with our sales managers and our sales staff, there's a struggle, I think, and maybe this is a generational piece, of people seeing the same impact from a digital ad that they see from a television ad. We will get people who say they see the impact when they run a TV spot during our newscast, for example. They'll see the customers come in and tell them, oh, I saw you on TV. They don't see the direct correlation. And again, this is anecdotal from our sales staff.
It's what people think about when they make decisions often.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so the direct value there for the advertiser is something that our sales staff is working to try and sell and convince, because I know we see it internally of, if you're there, it's a direct link to the consumers. They can click on your ad and go buy your product or engage with your product. It's making sure that advertisers and businesses, I think, identify that. And there are businesses that are the exception to this rule, but I think that's part of it, too, is teaching the older generation, who are the business owners largely, that there is value in online advertising.
Interesting. Here's a tweet from Brian. He says, what's happening with TV news audience during a time of cord cutting? And then to underscore that, this is from Heather, I think perhaps it comes back to the televisions. To save money, I only have internet. I got rid of cable, which means I no longer have access to local television news. I don't have an antenna that can pick up the signal, so I don't watch the news because it's not easy to access. And Melissa, I'd love to get your take on that. I mean, Michael, you were talking about how our habits have changed. You suggested hitting the DVR and looking at your local newscast. Well, a lot of young people, a lot of cord cutters don't have a DVR. They don't have that kind of access. Melissa, how do you think the access is affecting this?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely critical to understanding, you know, this dynamic. So if you don't have your local package, you know, from your local cable company, or you don't have satellite, in many markets, smaller markets, including, you know, the kind of markets that we live in, you do not get your local affiliates. So that's just a fact of the market right now. Many of these services, you know, if you think of like Hulu Live or YouTube TV, all of these kinds of streaming services, they make deals station by station with these various local affiliates. So if you're in a major market and you have one of those services, you actually probably do get your local content. You probably do get your local ABC, CBS, NBC, all of that. But if you're in a smaller market, you don't get it. So that's absolutely correct. So if you're cutting the cord to either save money, or to, a lot of people are doing it to kind of tailor their experience, you know, they're realizing that they're watching most things on Netflix or Hulu, so they don't want to pay for things they're not watching, then if they don't have an antenna, which a lot of people don't, they actually cannot get their local news broadcast. So that's absolutely happening. And until these companies who are offering streaming services in these packages make deals to bring these the local channels to audiences through streaming services, we're going to see that as more and more people do cut the cord. So that to me does bring up the other ways that people are getting local news, by going to the website or by following their local news organizations on social media. So I really take the point that they're not making money off of the people who are getting content on social media. So sort of figuring out how to both make the bottom line and how people are accessing their news work together is obviously a challenge that local news organizations have to deal with.
And Adam's doing a lot of nodding.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and there's a big pressure. I know from our ownership, there's a big pressure to try and get more OTT devices, as they're called, mm-hmm. Which is the Apple TV, the Rokus, things like that, to get us on more of those channels. I know we have a Roku app right now that we've gotten a great response from, and people being able to stream our newscast that way. YouTube TV is about to launch a live signal. They're in some of the larger markets, as you mentioned, and they're actually about to be in this market too. So it's coming. I think it's just a matter of trickling down into the smaller markets, which Iowa doesn't have any big major TV markets, so we tend to be a little bit later to the game with some of those.
Yeah, I would recommend
Michael.
Yeah, I would recommend that owners of local stations start moving quickly.
Absolutely.
They're moving way too slow. And I tell you, newspapers are stabilized. They've stabilized in a manner in which I think television stations will find difficulty, is they're getting more and more revenue from subscriptions. And by doing that, they're actually maintaining a good local news presence. But unless broadcast stations move rapidly, get into the high schools, get onto all these digital content online news venues, and doing it as quickly as possible, they're going to see a lot of their revenue dry up. And I'm really concerned about that. That's why I think this particular broadcast is more important than people might realize.
Let's get back to the phones. Nathan is on the line in Muscatine. Hi, Nathan.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Good. What would you like to talk about?
Well, so you guys have talked about some of the logistic challenges and things like that. My point here is more content. I really find that most of the people I talk to have gone into more untraditional sources due to it's content that they want to know about, such as, you know, it seems like there can be a monopoly on certain stories. They tell you, CNN, MSNBC, et cetera, Fox, whatever. They all have their set of stories they want to tell. But there's very little out there on, you know, there's this girl in, this Palestinian girl that's been jailed by Israelis. That's a very big story a lot of people care about. It's nowhere on mainstream news sources. So you have, and that's just one example. There's tons
right. Well,
of them.
And Nathan, you know, we're focusing on local TV news right now. So stories from your community. Do you find that they're also, in your opinion, not telling the stories that you're interested in hearing about?
Correct. So I mean, that's why I look more to online sources than to going to local sources. Like these guys said earlier, I can't remember which one of your hosts there with you said things about like sports. Yet I've already got all that information by the time it breaks. I don't care by the time it's on late night news. So the things that they've been good at before, I've already got that information by the time they post. So I don't care anymore.
All right. Well, Nathan, thanks a lot for sharing your perspective. All right. We've seen this drop dramatically in the last year. Iowa seems to be insulated a little bit from that kind of a dramatic shift. But Michael, we're nearly out of time, so I'm going to let you have the last word here. Where do you see this going?
Well, I think it's important that we all remember that the community and community news. What is community news? Community news tells us about school districts. It tells us about crime. It tells us about civic virtues. All those things are important to keep a sense of, I guess, togetherness as Iowans. Talk of Iowa is about community. And I think this is what this broadcast has been about.
All right. Michael Bugea, thank you so much. Michael Bugea, professor of and former director of the Greenlee School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Iowa State University. Melissa Tully, thank you.
Thank you.
Melissa Tully, assistant professor of journalism and mass communication at the University of Iowa. And Adam Karos, thank you.
Thank you.
Adam Karos, news director for KCRG-TV in Cedar Rapids. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.